Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Are you fed up with your day job? Have you always wanted to go into business for yourself? Do your fears about managing your own finances prevent you from taking that step into the great business unknown? Today we have two guests who will be able to help your startup get started. Bill Brigham is the director of the Albany Small Business Development Center, which since 1984 has worked directly with 20,000 plus businesses to create or save over 10,000 local jobs. Matt Baumgartner is an ownership partner in several successful local venues, including the ubiquitous Bomber's Burrito Bar, Wolf's Beer Garden, and Old English Pub and Pantry. Last month, he received a Small Business Excellence Award from the U.S. Small Business Administration in recognition of the success of Old English. Gentlemen, welcome to Vox Pop.
Great. Good to be here.
Hi.
The number to call if you want to get in, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Bill Brigham, the Albany Small Business Development Center, briefly while we get started here, tell us exactly what that entity does.
We're a not-for-profit that's funded by the Small Business Administration, New York State, and University at Albany in my case. We have 24 centers in New York State, and we offer no-cost counseling to small business. It's a help with a lot of business plans, market research, marketing plans, financial analysis. I think all the components that really need to go into a good business proposal.
What percentage, in this tough economic climate, what percentage of local businesses that start actually survive 5 years?
That's a really good question, and it's very debatable. A lot say 50%. Some only say 15. We had a study done by Dun & Bradstreet a few years ago, and close to 90% of our clients were still in business after 3 years.
Well, that's good.
And, you know, it just goes to show you what planning is all about as far as the success of a business.
Matt, you have been very successful in this market and in these times. It has not been the easiest 10 years for the economy or more. So what does it take, besides startup capital, to really flourish in this climate that we're in now?
That's a good question.
Come a little closer to the microphone.
Okay, sorry. That's a good question. I feel that obviously the most important component is a really good idea, a good idea that is popular among, you know, a huge part of the population and not just something that you want to open up yourself. You know,
yeah.
It has to sort of resonate with the entire community. And I think you have to do it really inexpensively. You know, if you spend a lot of money in the startup, it's going to take a longer time to pay it back, and it just sort of, you know, your risk is a little bit higher.
And, you know, I always think about location, location, location. And one of your entities that I think is just phenomenal is Wolf's Beer Garden, but it always struck me as being sort of far afield.
Yeah, it's a little off the beaten path. I mean, and I actually live right behind Wolf's Beer Garden.
Yeah,
so
it's good for you.
Yeah.
You can stumble home.
Yeah,
well
right.
done.
I mean, I think it's a good, I actually like the location a lot, but I do understand what you're saying. When we first opened up Noche there, you know, 5-6 years ago, it was longer than that, but people thought it was a strange location to be opening up a business, but
yeah.
It's proven to be, you know, a good spot for us.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's a small business forum of sorts. Bill Brigham is the director of the Albany Small Business Development Center. Matt Baumgartner is the owner of several locations around the area, and we'll talk more about them as the program goes on. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones. David in Highland. David, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon. This is a sort of convoluted question. I'm not sure.
Oh, we specialize in those.
Hey, I like that idea. I have a small business. I have an art studio. I have an associate, two associates, actually, that are house builders. I help them on occasion, but the workman's comp is starting to bust our stones to where we can't work with each other unless we become an employer of who's ever got the job. So what I'm looking for is a way to manipulate or find an insurance company that can, in turn, allow me, my own business, you know, an art studio, but then I can go and work with my associates and help them build their houses.
Well, that wasn't
that's what I'm trying.
That wasn't too convoluted.
To
All right, go ahead, guys.
Well, that's a regulatory issue, and I totally understand where you're coming from. The red tape in a situation like that with crossover businesses, two different type of liability. Compensation problems. I would really go and talk to your local legislative representative, because that is something that really needs to be changed on that level.
All right, Devin?
Yeah, that would be nice, but they actually pass the buck and put it in the insurance people's laps and or negate even dealing with it and put you on their docket for, you know, mid-January next year.
Yeah, that's...
I see shrugging of shoulders.
You know, and I totally would understand what you're saying. I guess all I could say is be as persistent as you can, and you know, work for some change. And things like that move too slow, and I don't think any of us are happy with it.
David, thanks a lot for the call. Is there too much red tape?
There is. I think that's kind of why we're around, because people really don't know how to get through all these hoops and loopholes. So, there is a lot to do, a lot to know when you're getting into business.
So, Matt, when you run your venues, I assume you have a good lawyer.
I do have a good lawyer. I have a few good lawyers.
That's a smart thing. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. It's Vox Pop. Small business questions today. And we go to Juan in Kingston. Juan, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Very good.
Hello.
I recently opened a small restaurant in uptown Kingston, New York, and our clientele has been very forthcoming with information. But somebody just told us about, and I'm sorry I don't remember the name, but there's a small business association in the Hudson Valley whose charter is basically to find funding for small business startups. And I was wondering if you guys knew about this or what I'm talking about, and if you could give some more information out.
Yes, that we have a small business development center down in the Mid-Hudson region. We have them throughout the states. There are people in that office that can sit down with you and really help you plan and access the capital. All you need to do is to go to our website, www.nys for New York State, sbdc.org, Small Business Development Center. And click the locations button, and you'll find many outreach offices in your area.
Uh-huh. Because we've newly opened, do you think that this is something that we can still find access to, or is this for people who are planning on opening a business?
60% of our clients are existing businesses. So,
great.
You know what they can really help you with now, too, since you're open, you can really see where you're going, help you with market research and you know, some marketing strategies.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, I'm enjoying the show, so I'll go and let somebody else call in. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot. The telephone number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So there are many. Every one of us has an idea. Well, I'd love to start this business. This would be a great idea. You know, what does it take to get that hurdle, to get the financing, to get that capital that you may not have in your pocket?
It's not easy. It really isn't. These days, banks are very difficult to work with, especially if you don't have a lot of sort of means to collateralize the loan.
Yeah.
So it really means doing a lot of paperwork to see if there's any grants available. You know, working with the SBA, they've been fantastic to work with. I've worked with them many times in the past. And, you know, sometimes you have to borrow from friends and family.
I mean,
in my opinion, if it's something you really believe in and you want to make happen, you can find a way to make it happen.
If you believe in it, though, as you pointed out earlier, that doesn't make it a practical idea. So I assume that some of these entities that will provide capital, they would say, well, gosh, there's no way in hell this is going to succeed.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to vet the whole idea and really try to understand it. One thing that we've done recently is started a loan fund for unbankable entrepreneurs. If you don't have cash or collateral, you can't get a loan.
Right.
With CEFQS,
isn't that awfully risky?
Well, it is. We're doing character-based lending, which is just unheard of.
Yeah.
CEFQ stepped up, and they will back up to $2.5 million in loans, and we've gotten over $770,000 out the door this year. It's a microloan fund for $35,000. I think a few of your neighbors here have benefited from.
Downtown Albany?
Yes.
Well, not too bad.
Yes.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. Matt Baumgartner is here. He is a restaurateur, I guess you could say, and Bill Brigham, director of the Albany Small Business Development Center. We go back to the phones. Jennifer in Berkshire County, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I just had a quick question. I actually met this morning with our local chapter of the Small Business Development here in Berkshire County. And my question is, I have an opportunity to, I'm trying to open a consignment shop. I have an opportunity to get a spot that's, location is great, rent is a little out of my league, and I guess my question is, how much would you sort of play it safe and start small with a rent you know you can afford, or go for the great location and hope for the best?
Well, I'd like to answer that. To me, I never get worked up about rent. If rent's high, I think it means it's a good location.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, at the end of the month, when you're making your checks out, your rent is a fraction of all the checks that you're going to be paying.
Yeah. Okay.
So if I think it's worth spending a little bit more on a good location, mm-hmm. Even if it stresses you out, it'll probably mean more customers walking in the door.
Bill, you agree?
Oh, I totally do. But Matt's kind of proved it a little different too with some of his locations, as we were talking earlier. But he's kind of has the gold touch there when it comes to ventures.
I suppose if the product is good, people will make the trip.
Exactly.
Yeah, but something like a consignment shop, I mean, I think that needs to be in a spot where people are just going to sort of stumble into it.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
I think if that location has a lot of foot traffic, that's a good space.
It does have a lot of foot traffic, and it turns out, I just found out, there's a children's dance studio right above it, so that's even more intriguing.
Uh-huh. You could sell secondhand tutus. Good for you.
Yeah, I could go that way.
Excellent.
Now, have you run some numbers, done some cash flows to see how that will work?
Like I said, I just met this morning with somebody at our small business development center, and she did give me an outline to do a business plan, and she's going to walk me through all that. So I haven't gotten that far yet.
Well, the numbers tell the whole story in that situation. So.
Jennifer, we got a break here, but thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. More on small business coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, offering installation of air conditioning systems to the Pioneer Valley, now expanding into the Westfield area, richardsfuel.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, featuring the exhibition Mark Adams and Beth Van Hosen, Life Observed Up Close, Lithographs and Etchings, now through June 24th, arkellmuseum.org. Boyden and Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 30 years, boydenandperron.com. Curtis Lumber, supporting the Pet Connection and local animal rescues, helping to bring pets and people together, curtislumber.com. Thaddigan's Nursery, Latham, New York, featuring Judy Garland, Senorita Rosalita, and Picasso Petunia, you can grow that, thaddigans.com. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Bill Brigham is here from the Albany Small Business Development Center. Matt Baumgartner. I want to say Baumgartner, but it's Baumgartner.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's better for me to pronounce it
Baumgartner, and my parents used to freak out. So I think.
But Matt runs Wolf's Beer Garden and Bomber's Burrito Bar and Old English Pub and knows quite a bit about this deal. And we welcome your calls at 800-348-2551. Andrew in Berkshire County, you're next.
Great. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks so much. It's a great show. I'm just wondering, so I make money doing a bunch of little things. I sell some items on consignment, on eBay, and locally. And I also make and sell craft. And so I piece together money here and there just on my own. And I'm wondering, at what point does it make sense, in terms of tax savings, to incorporate instead of just working as an individual? And also, what other benefits would I receive if I did incorporate my own little self as a business?
See, now the incorporation isn't going to really save you tax-wise. Probably what you would end up doing is filing as a limited liability company. And really what happens is that income goes right to your personal line and not really involving the company. So, you know, whether you're a DBA doing business as or a LLC, tax ramifications or what you're doing now, it really doesn't make much of a difference. You will be able to write off more of your expenses. I guess that's where your savings would be.
Okay.
Is there a certain amount of income that I'd be generating or tasks I'd be undertaking at which point it would make sense to go to become a DBA or an LLC?
Well, technically, you're not supposed to be using a business name without a DBA. That's really the rule, because it's just so the public isn't deceived by using a fictitious name. I would, if I were you, just go to your county clerk's office and file for a DBA.
Okay, is that a simple and non-expensive process?
It's very simple. I think it's around here, I think it's $30-$35. So.
And at the end of the year, do I end up having to do a whole separate set of taxes for the DBA?
No, you would just do a Schedule C off of your personal income tax.
Great, thank you so much.
Sure.
Thanks very much. Now, when does it become wise to incorporate?
When does it? Well, technically, LLC is a type of corporation. I think the big thing is to look at what your personal assets are.
So, in other words, you're protecting your assets by doing this.
By doing that, and you know that's where you really have to, I think, do it sooner than later.
Okay.
Because you never know what can happen, and you just don't want to lose your house because of a problem you had.
All right, fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. Debbie in Wappingers Falls. Debbie, you're on.
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi.
I wanted to address a question from a man who called from Kingston just a while ago. There is a new loan fund that's been set up by the Hudson Valley Economic Development Corporation, partnering with Hudson River Ventures, and they have an accent on the food and beverage industry. They are offering low-interest loans from $50,000 to $500,000. And I can give some contact information for that.
Okay, yeah, all right, go ahead.
Okay, the quickest way is to go on to HudsonRiverVentures.com.
All right.
Or to contact the Hudson Valley Economic Development Corporation, which is 845-220-2244.
All right, Debbie, thanks very much. Let's go to Ann in Rhinebeck. Ann, you're on.
Hi, this is Ann. I own a pottery school and in Rhinebeck, and my question is paper, it's twofold, paper and radio advertising effective? And the question is how to get more students to come and take classes and continue to take classes?
Well, that's a good question. Matt, do you do, I must say I barely listen when I'm on to the radio, but do you do any advertising in media?
I mean, at the risk of being thrown out of the studio,
that's fine.
I would say that the amount of money that I've spent on radio and print advertising over the years has gone down.
Yeah.
I focus a lot on social media, such as Facebook, Twitter.
Interesting.
I write a blog. I mean, it's free. It reaches more people. I mean, your students, if you're looking to attract them from a business perspective, they're not listening to the radio. They're on iTunes. They're downloading MP3s. They're on the Internet.
Fascinating.
And they're on Facebook, and on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
So you should utilize those forms.
And your microwave is done.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. yes, we are doing social media, but I'm just wondering if you have any other ideas about how to attract students.
So it's a pottery studio? I mean, I guess I would maybe... When you say students, you mean high school students? You mean college students?
All adults, teens, and children.
I mean, are you near a high school or a college?
Oh, yes, we're near high schools, and we're near Bard College, Marist.
Okay, well, I would do maybe like a Saturday free, like learn about your pottery studio type thing and have people show up, and, you just want to get people signed up to the experience. So
right,
sometimes
right.
You have to give away some free product to do that.
See, and that's a great idea. And Matt, you've been extremely successful with putting on events.
Sexy.
Putting on events. And I think that's really been a good way to do things, get people there.
Okay. Ann, thanks a lot for the call. Now, what sort of demographic research do you really need to go to the table with before you start your business? In other words, you probably, Matt, said, this is what I like. This is what I'm going to do.
Right. It's a little difficult because you think you have the best idea in the world and you don't feel that you need to explain it to people. But when you go to the bank or to the SBA, they require that you have done all of your you know, legwork to show that you've done research on the demographics, and they want to see numbers.
And what sort of research? Focus groups? What do you do?
No, like a lot of times they want to know the number of people that are walking by the store. They want to know population numbers. They want to know why people are going to be walking into your door. And you can't just say because it's a great product. You know, they want to see almost the statistics behind it.
And Bill, is this something that you guys help with?
Yes, it is. We have a research network. And what our clients do is give us their best 10, 20 questions. And these five librarians will pump out market research specific to that business. So per capita income is also a big one. You know, how much money do people around your location have and things like that, yes.
Bill Brigham is the director of Albany Small Business Development Center. Matt Baumgartner, or Baumgartner, or Bumgartner, is an ownership partner in several successful local venues, including Wolf's Beer Garden. The number to call on this small business forum is 800-348-2551. Back to the phones we go. And is it Cal? I can't quite read that.
CJ.
Oh, C and a J. There you are in Ballston Lake. How are you doing?
Well, very well today.
Good.
Oh, thank you. You know, I was interested in putting a pet cemetery, very restful location, 7.8 acres up in the Helderbergs near the Marival Lake area. Unfortunately, I ran into some problems. One is I wanted to put it into a tax-free, you know, I have that the situation where you can do tax-free with Wild Forever, but you need 10 acres. And this would be a beautiful small business because it would be, you know, a very restful place for the innocents to be buried. But, of course, you have the problem with the taxes and the wolves from the town constantly barking at you for more taxes and regulations on the land. I recently just heard, as I was listening to you, about the Hudson River thing. That was very interesting. But what are your suggestions about this type of situation?
Well, with something like that, you may want to go the non-for-profit route. You know, there is a social cause, a mission there that benefits animals, people. So that may be something to take a look at.
Okay, Matt.
I also would like to point out that when you start a business, you're married to it for the rest of your life. And you need to realize that you're going to be doing that, you know, 20 years, 40 years, sometimes even longer down the road. So when I think of a pet cemetery, that sounds depressing to me. And just be aware that if you start a business like that, it may, you know, it's something you're going to have to live with for a long time.
And I think probably more than 40 hours a week, I imagine.
Well, that's why I said the Wild Forever will guarantee that.
Okay.
We'll see. Know, or whoever passes on to if I die.
Well, CJ.
In other words, but the Wild Forever is you don't pay taxes forever, but it has to be at least 10 acres. Is there like some type of way you can get around that?
I wouldn't think so. You know, I think that's a very hard thing to bend. You know, I think.
I mean, you might even get racehorses from an Iowa that could go there.
Maybe.
All right. Well, just good luck, CJ. I would think cemetery business is something that people are dying to get into. Let's go to Sari in Rotterdam. Sari.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
So I turned on just as you guys were getting to, I guess, the character loans and wondering, you know, what more information I could actually find on that. I took over just about a year ago a children's indoor playground in Clifton Park, New York, took it from near bankruptcy and turned it into a very thriving business. But I've been working off of just the strict capital that it brings in every month and then looking for more capital. Fortunately, my personal finances years ago have, you know, precluded me from a traditional loan. So what you guys are talking about has been awarded multiple awards over the year, you know, this year and multiple contracts to perform, you know, up to this year. But that sounds something like I'm looking for. And, you know, I'm looking for more assistance on placing something based on, you know, where presenting contracts are versus, you know, and what the business is up and coming versus on my personal as it's listed as a DBA versus an incorporated business.
Okay, first of all, the loan fund. I would say, from what I've heard from you, you'd be probably a perfect candidate. Most of the businesses that we've got funded through it tend to be existing businesses that really need a little bump up in order to get where they need to go. You can't worry about cash flow every day like it sounds like you're doing. What goes with this program, too, is mandatory 8 weeks of Sunday afternoon training. Legal issues and marketing. It's all good stuff. And then we assign mentors from the School of Business and Social Welfare to work with you beyond that. So give my office a call and ask for Ryan.
Okay.
We just got this phone number today.
Oh, boy.
We just moved. 380-5077.
Okay.
380-5077. Perfect.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks a lot. And we go over to Kathy in Latham. Kathy.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I work with small business owners, and I have a couple comments about two of the callers that I thought might be helpful. One, the woman who is interested in starting up a consignment shop and had a question about the rent. One of the things that I would recommend is you really want to keep your rent expense in the 3% of total sales range. I'm assuming she's going to be making 40% on.
Why do you need to keep it at 3%? Just wondering. You're talking to a radio person who doesn't run anything.
Right. Well, in order to sustain a business, you have to be able to take care of all the expenses associated. And if you have one expense that is inordinately high, it eats into your profit. And small specialty retail stores, generally operate on low margins to begin with. So if you're going in with higher than average rent expense, it's going to make it really difficult.
I think Matt wants to maybe answer this. Go ahead.
Well, I just think it depends on what product you have. It also depends on, where the location is. I think that's a good guideline to keep it within, an affordable amount. However, I think it depends on the business.
Okay.
Well, it most certainly depends on the business, but I just want a quick mathematical exercise that might be helpful is if she were, for example, paying $1,000 a month rent, which is going to be $12,000 a year, and she wants to keep her rent expense in really what is considered the average for that kind of business, she'd want to be feeling comfortable that she's going to do about $400,000
right.
a year in sales.
I just don't want people to be discouraged if they do the math and all of a sudden it's too high, higher than that, and they think it's not going to work. Mm-hmm.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. So, with you now, what was your first restaurant in town? It was
My
Bombers,
first was
right?
Bombers, yeah. It was a takeout.
On a lark.
But it was just the downstairs.
Right, and that's what started it all for you. And obviously, location perfect for that venue.
I mean, Lark Street has been a dream for me. There are certainly things about the location that would be nicer to have, like parking, whatnot.
Yeah.
But overall, I can't complain with Lark Street. It's been a great space.
Our guest today, Bill Brigham, director of the Albany Small Business Development Center, and Matt Baumgartner, who runs and owns Bombers Burrito Bar, Wolf's Beer Garden, and Old English Pub. And we go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Bill in Niskayuna, it's your turn.
Hi. I am developing some software, and it's an Excel add-in, and I don't know if you folks have any experience with how to figure out what the market will bear in terms of pricing or what type of pricing people are, like to see, shareware versus, upfront payments, that kind of thing. How would I get some research on this on low budget?
Yes. See, what I would do, you're exactly headed the right place, is look at comparable products and what costs they are. We try not to get into any type of, let's fix the price here, because as we all know, it's what the customer will bear as far as what they're willing to pay. But yes, I would definitely, you could even give my office a call, and we could help find some of the comparable software and try to get some information on that.
And, of course, you can look online and sort of see what the comparable software is yourself, correct?
Yes.
What we don't know, though, is whether that's successful, whether that strategy is working for those companies, and plus our product wouldn't be exactly identical to anything else out there, so we think. So it's hard to know how we should price ourselves. I'm more interested not so much what should the price be, I should have been clear, but how to structure deals for customers in the software environment.
Well, most of the deals I've seen, you're looking at an annual fee to use the software for that period of time. That's if it's financial software, that's where I've been, that's been the most common setup I've seen.
All right.
Okay.
Bill, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. So that's a good question, Bill. You know, in your work with the Albany Small Business Development Center, is it a growing percentage of businesses that are no longer bricks and mortar? In other words, virtual businesses, if you will.
We see so much more of that, and a lot of home-based businesses. And, you know, with the economic downturn, we've seen a lot of people go into their own consulting businesses from unemployment to some type of consulting business. So it's a good model.
1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number, 1-800-348-2551. Our guest, Matt Baumgartner and Bill Brigham, and we welcome your calls at 800-348-2551. Let's take a short break, Zach the engineer. We'll be back with the home stretch after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Fleet Feet Sports Colony, New York, locally owned retail shop providing footwear and apparel for runners, walkers, and triathletes in and around the capital region, fleetfeetalbany.com. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York, custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com. Mario's True Value Home Center, Belatia, New York, two locally owned locations open 7 days a week for building supplies, equipment rentals, and hardware needs, featuring Cambridge Outdoor Living, mariostruevalue.com. Chesterwood, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, hosting their 2012 Antique and Classic Automobile Show, Sunday, May 27th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., chesterwood.org. Wheels of Time in Pine Plains, New York, offering restoration and preservation of classic and vintage cars and trucks, including coachwork, upholstery, and vehicle maintenance, wheelsoftime.com. And Utica College, offering a post-professional Doctor of Physical Therapy program online, utica.edu.
So during the break, we're talking, and Matt asked Bill Brigham, you know, what are the worst business ideas you've ever heard in your time at the Albany Small Business Development Center? Without naming names, what are some of the terrible ones?
Well, most of the most difficult to work with are the inventors.
Yeah.
Because they'll come in with a pencil with 2 points or something like that. Or I've even seen a foil head, head cover.
Yeah.
That would work as an antenna, antenna for a cell phone.
Oh, I get those callers on VoxPop from time to time.
You know, you see absolutely everything, and
that's,
you know,
really funny.
It's some real wacky stuff. But you know, sometimes it can fly. You just never know.
So you guys have a website. What is your website?
Yes, it's www.nyssbdc.org. There is some pretty decent small business information on there to take a look at, too.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to the phones and Sarah in Olive Bridge. Sarah.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And pardon me if I missed this. I missed the beginning of the show, so I hope this isn't redundant. I've been in business for over 20 years, a small business. We are a partnership, and recently we decided that we should incorporate and become an LLC. And I'm wondering can I do this myself, like via, you know, finding forms on the internet, or do I need to go to a lawyer? How do I go about that? What's the best way?
Now, all the forms are on Department of State's website.
Mm-hmm.
What I would suggest you do is pull down all the forms and get started yourself.
Okay.
See how far along you can get. It gets a little involved with articles of organization and things like that. But I think the best thing to do is go as far as you can. And then when you do go to a lawyer, you're going to save quite a bit of money. And the cost, I think it's $350 to file a LLC. So.
And that's in addition to the lawyer's fees?
Yes. Yes.
So it's but am I looking for a certain type of lawyer? Who specializes in?
You know, I think any firm, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, they just need to have experience in doing. I mean, I would suggest getting somebody that has a lot of experience because it's an important piece of paperwork.
Right.
Okay. And the website is just Google New York State.
Department of State.
Just the Department of State.
In New York State, Department of State, you'll find that, yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Sarah, thank you very much. Peter in Lake George. Peter.
Yes.
You're on.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking the call. So I have three small businesses, two of which are in real estate and work just fine. The other one of which is the loser. And that's a yoga studio that I run because I like teaching yoga and it makes me happy. And it seems to make a very small group of customers happy as well. But so the question, I suppose I could give you an option of which question to answer. Either one, how to bring more customers in. And I've done a Groupon, I've done a Living Social, how to keep those customers. Or two, when do you pull the plug?
Ah, that's a great question. I like that question. Wow. When do you pull the plug?
I mean, if I could get my rent in that 3% range that the other lady was talking about, it would be a dream. A dream, I tell you.
All right, so?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I can take a shot at this. I pull a plug in a business when the stress overwhelms me and I can't afford it anymore. I mean, if it's something that you enjoy, it sounds like you probably do. I would keep doing it and try some new ideas for a little bit longer and see if they take. But what are you doing besides Groupon and Living Social? Do you have a Twitter
Facebook page? And I post on that. I post on that more regularly in the got cottages in Lake George, so my off season in Lake George, I post more frequently on the Facebook page. And,
okay, well, you can
and that builds a personality, but
yeah, you can contact FridayPuppy.com, and I'll give away a yoga class for you and get some exposure to you. You can start there.
All right.
Now, have you diversified at all? A little encompassing other things than just yoga. You know, obviously, Zumba's real popular. Are there other components of exercise that you can bring in and not just on yoga?
There are other teachers who, in their search for a space, I'll sublet space to. So far, that's been mostly yoga. I'm not opposed to the idea of, different sort of body work or health modality renting space. I have not explored finding more people to fill those other slots with a lot of energy because it's... it's an avocation. It's a side business that I enjoy doing, and I wouldn't be interested to teach Zumba
right.
or something else.
Or like health, like healthy juices or protein shakes, that kind of stuff. But is it in a location where there's a lot of foot traffic, or how do people know about you?
I would say they know about me by reputation and a little bit local reputation growing. It's in Cahoes. It's on Runson Street. There's some foot traffic, not a lot of foot traffic, and really the kind of customer base that I would look to get more exposure to doesn't necessarily find that to be a location that is as convenient for them.
I would go like old school and put up flyers at like the Honest Way Food Co-op. Yoga customers are a very specific type of customer. Yeah. I would try to target them in sort of their habit type of locations, like health food stores or doctors that are sort of more on the holistic side, that type of those avenues.
Peter, we got to move it on, but thanks very much for the call. Now, that caller had two successful businesses, one not so much. Can it be an advantage to have one dog among the two successful? Can it be a tax advantage to, I'm losing money on this one. My tax hit, it will be less.
Well, I mean, it's not as good as having three successful
businesses. Yeah, it's going to drop your income also.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't really matter. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Susan in Saratoga. Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Love the program. I've been in sales and I've been working for someone else for quite some time, and I've often thought about, what it would be like to own my own business. But I guess where I get stuck is what type of business and, where should it be? Brick and mortar? Should it be e-commerce? That sort of thing. So what kind of help is there out there for someone to help kind of, I guess, develop their business savvy? I'm good at sales, but I'd like to start selling for myself.
I would suggest maybe going to a local business that you respect and you like to go to and, you think they do a great job, and maybe meet with the owner and pick their brain and ask them questions, just some basic startup questions. I think sometimes having a first-person experience is a little better than going to, like, a class.
I also would look at, what is it you like to do? What are your hobbies? And how could that cross over to a business? That's where most business ideas come from. It's part of a hobby, and it works into something I enjoy.
Very
All right.
good.
Good luck, Susan.
Good.
Thank you. Matt, you must work how many hours a week do you work?
How many hours a week are there in a week?
So, I don't know, 100.
Yeah, I mean, I work. I mean, I'm not physically behind the counters mopping any longer, but I mean, I don't really consider there to be a moment where I'm off. I mean, there's my cell phone goes off constantly. There's always emails coming in. I mean, it's nonstop.
So, in that respect, it's really important to do something that you love, right? Isn't that the main thing?
I think so, or that you can tolerate at least.
All right, fair enough. 800-348-2551. We've got an open line and about 12 minutes left. 800-348-2551. Suzanne and Duchess. Suzanne,
hi,
sorry.
My question is, I have some property in another state that's mostly woodlands, and I have just kept it as a personal property because, I don't know, because it just seemed too complicated to try to separate it out as a business or make a family trust. And anyway, we've always been able to deduct the real estate taxes from the other state against our federal, which makes it tolerable. But now that my husband's going to be retiring, we won't have so much income, and it really won't matter that much that we could deduct those taxes. And also, we're thinking about, we've been told that if you own property out of state, if you don't have it all, you know, tied up neatly, it's a huge problem with IRS, if something happens. So we just don't know whether we should, you know, obviously, if we had lots of money to burn on it, we could get a lawyer in that state and explore what they wanted to do, find out what it would cost in corporate, you know what I mean? But we wanted to see what we could find out on our own.
Okay.
Now, what are you using the land for now? It's just vacant forest land?
Well, forest land's not vacant.
Well.
But I know what you mean. It's got some timber lots on it. I don't rent. There's a small mouse-eaten cabin I don't rent, but I suppose I could. And it's Maine, so people are allowed to hunt on your land unless you post it.
Right. Have you ever looked at pulling timber out of there?
Constantly they want to. I've only had a tiny bit taken out because you have a plan and you're supposed to work along with the plan.
Yeah. Well, I in private sector, I was in the wood products industry, and the techniques of selective cut with forest land like that is incredible. You don't even notice, and it actually enhances the growth.
I have a forest management plan you have to have that, otherwise you pay huge taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my land is in a forest protection program, so I have the reduced tax rate the way you do in Connecticut.
I think you should make it a pet cemetery.
All right. Well, that's an idea. Suzanne, thank you very much. Wise guy. Matt Baumgartner is here, and Bill Brigham. It's 800-348-2551. Stephanie in East Greenbush. Stephanie, you're on.
Hi. How are you all?
Good.
Very good.
I have a question regarding purchasing an existing small business and some advice you would have as far as information to get from that current business owner and loans available.
This is a great one. First of all, you need 3 years tax returns from that business.
Okay.
And if they won't give you them, then you'll never get funding. It's a rule of thumb. What's good with that too is it's a lot easier to run some pro forma financials off of the historical numbers that you'll be able to get. So that's really a big thing.
Right, and just the reality of a lot of small businesses is that a lot of them hide money, and that won't show up on the tax returns. And can I ask what the business is?
It is a veterinary clinic.
Okay, and it has a good reputation.
Yes, excellent.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's something that's easy to replicate, I would say just do it yourself. But something like that sounds like it would be worth purchasing.
Yes, it would. It seems like the right next move for my career, but it's just very overwhelming.
Yeah, but I mean, you may need to have a candid conversation with the current owner about the reality of their finances that may not be accurate on a tax return.
Yeah, and typically, okay. Most small business owners value their business.
Yeah.
More than it's really worth. So you
right.
really have to take a look at what you're really getting for your money.
Right. And it's hard to determine how much is worth paying for that.
Right. And seeing what kind of debt load that business can carry would be a good thing to look at also.
Okay. Stephanie,
great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Matt, you mentioned, you know, some small businesses will hide money. No. How and why?
Well, I'm just being honest. I mean, no. we shouldn't pretend that it doesn't happen.
No,
I mean, a lot of places, you know, pay. You can go into like any sort of small business that may sell sandwiches or whatever. I mean, we honestly don't at our places,
right.
But you can tell when they don't hit the register and they just sort of pop the cash into the drawer there. They're not declaring that money.
Oh, I see.
You know, so when you don't declare it, you can pay for stuff off the books, or you can, you know, you're. Taxable income is lower.
I see.
You know, so when you go to sell it, that number isn't going to show up in the actual value.
Yeah, and that resale is really a big problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's probably not on your website then, I'm guessing.
No, we don't tell you how to stash.
Fair enough. David in Saratoga is next. David.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I had an idea for a business, actually a non-for-profit. And me and my wife have been mulling it over, and we're just not sure where to start. The idea is basically a food bank or sort of thing, but it's more geared for disaster preparedness. And the idea would be buying food in bulk and offering cannery services. The Latter-day Saint Church actually does this a lot in their locations, and they offer food preparedness, storage, and stuff like that. And I thought it would be a good idea to have something like that. I just don't even know if that qualifies for something that's a not-for-profit or not. And where would I start?
Yes, that would definitely qualify. What I would like to... Now, the best reason to become a not-for-profit is to have access to grant funding. And, you know, what I would do is look at the local foundations that can help support this not-for-profit. And if you'll be able to access funding that way. You know, a lot of your grocery store corporations, they have foundations that would really fit well with this. And you know, there's a social cause there. It's definitely sounds like a great idea for not-for-profit.
Okay. And what type of people should I be looking for at a board of directors level?
Well, I would definitely get people that are already on non-for-profits or already run non-for-profits.
Okay.
You know, and mix it up. You really want an attorney, an accountant, a restaurant owner, you know, you really want a good diversity of people on that board, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. We appreciate the call. Well, a couple of minutes left here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to point out to a lot of the people that are calling in that one of the most important things that I feel like I have in my corner is a really amazing CPA accountant.
Yeah.
I mean, her name's Jean Paduano Teal. I've been working with her for, the last 12 years or so.
Yeah.
And she takes care of everything for me. I don't worry about my taxes being paid. And probably one of the best piece of advice that has ever been given to me was from Debbie from Debbie's Kitchen.
Yeah.
And she told me the first week that we opened that every day you get your sales, you need to take the money that is your sales tax money and set it aside. Put it away in a place you cannot touch. And since that day, I've always done that. And when every quarter when you have to pay your taxes,
yeah,
there's a huge check that has to be written. And if you don't have that money set aside and it's coming out of your sort of operating account, it's going to stress you out.
Right.
So I never get worked up about paying taxes because it's always set in a small, you know, savings account that is never touched, and it's always a relief.
Seeing that CPA can make or break.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot that will just toss you back numbers, but you really need somebody that can interpret
and give
you advice.
Me, yeah, she finds me tax savings. I mean, she's worth her weight in gold.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little late now with a minute left, but what about the tax climate and its effect on small business today as opposed to when you started?
I honestly don't notice that much of a difference in my business. I mean, we pay our sales taxes, and then there's certainly they go up, but I just feel like I'm a proponent of paying. I don't mind paying higher taxes if it's going towards things like schools and whatever. So
yeah.
I don't see it as a big problem.
How about your website? And by the way, we have just a minute left here. What is that website once
again? It's www.nyssbdc.org.
And that's the Albany Small Business Development Center.
Correct.
What sort of tax tips can we get on your website?
Well, we actually do some tax seminars on these are things you need to look out for. And also, we have people on staff that are really good with financials and can really give some good insight.
Well, this has been a very interesting hour, and as someone who has never run a business, not even a lemonade stand as a kid, I learned a lot today, and I hope you guys come back again soon. Matt Baumgartner, you can see his work and taste his work at Bombers, Wolf's Beer Garden, Old English Pub, and Bill Brigham of the Albany Small Business Development Center. Gentlemen, a great time, and we really enjoyed it and learned quite a bit, and hope you come back again soon. Support for Vox Pop comes from Berkshire Classic Leather and Silver, Lennox, featuring travel wear luggage by Briggs and Riley, silver jewelry, leather jackets and coats, and accessories by Brighton, 413-637-0727. Reed Media, tools for colleges and high schools to publish student achievements online, in print and in social media, readmedia.com. And Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, presenting its summer science camp for middle school and high school students starting July 9th, acphs.edu/sciencecamp. All right, that's it. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who handled the controls, Colleen O'Connell, who answered your calls. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned now for a news update.